This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لتجدن أشد الناس عداوة للذين آمنوا اليهود والذين أشركوا ولتجدن أقربهم مودة للذين آمنوا الذين قالوا إنا نصارى ذلك بأن منهم قسيسين ورهبانا وأنهم لا يستكبرون صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and friends, there is something that is disliked and repugnant in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is pride, arrogance and haughtiness. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. He will not enter paradise in whose heart there is an iota of pride. There is just a fraction of pride. Now we need to understand the definition of pride and then the reason of its prohibition. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then asked by a companion, O Nabi of Allah, I'm very particular about my dressing. I like to dress neat. I like to attire myself well. I like to wear good things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and Allah loves beauty. The wearing of exclusive or good clothing does not denote pride. But to wear good or exclusive and perceive yourself to be superior and others to be inferior, that is pride. What is it? بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. To deny the truth and consider others inferior, this is pride. Why will a person with an iota of pride not enter Jannah, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because when a person has pride, it might be one crime per se, but it's an obstacle, a hurdle, and an impediment to 1,000 virtues. A proud man will never greet. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one who greets first is free from pride. A proud person will never apologize. It's below my dignity. Who are you? Why must I apologize to you? I'll never apologize to you. So on and so forth. That is the condition of pride. The verse that I recited before you, Allah speaks about the delegation of Christians who had accepted Islam. And Allah says, from all the other faiths and denominations that exist, you would find this group to be the closest to Islam. And what is the secret of them being close to Islam? And that is when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent the Sahaba to Ethiopia and they took amnesty there. And the king at that time was Ashama and he was Christian by religion. And he gave protection and amnesty and safety to the Muslims. And when Ja'far radiallahu anhu recited the verses of the Quran, he said, this message and the message of Isa alayhi salam is one and the same, and he accepted the truth. And then Allah praised them, Allah acknowledged them, Allah complimented them. And Allah said, their proximity to truth is because of two reasons. And this is the basis for a community to thrive on in terms of Islamic values and ethos. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانَا. That amongst them there are many leaders, priests, monks, rightly guided individuals. So for the goodness of a community, they need to be sincere, genuine scholars. Someone said it beautifully, an ideal society would exist on four categories of people. بِعِلْمِ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَبِعَدْلِ الْأُمَرَاءِ وَبِصَخَاوَةِ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ وَبِدُعَاءِ الْفُقَرَاءِ. With the knowledge of the pious, with the knowledge of the learned. If there are no ulama, and they, in fact in Jannah, the one narration makes mention that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will address the occupants of Jannah and say to them, ask me, what do you desire? So they will say, oh Allah, but in Jannah, the pinnacle of bliss, what's there to ask now? So at that time, they would also feel the need to go to the scholars and the ulama, that what question or what request should we present to Allah? And it would be then told to them that request from Allah and ask Allah to reveal His countenance, to reveal His beauty, which would be the pinnacle of joy for the dwellers of Jannah. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ. Those who do good, We have reward for them, and we have a pleasant surprise for them. We have something separate and something extra for them. So the ulama say the need of scholars would be something that would even take place on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah protect our true scholars and guide them and keep them under His divine care. بِعِلْمِ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَبِعَدْلِ الْأُمَرَاءِ. With the justice of those in power, those who have muscle, clout, power, authority, those that are in the ruling power, not to exploit and abuse their seat and their power, to govern and execute with justice. In one narration, the Messenger ﷺ said that to establish justice and to establish the hudud of Allah is better for a community than 40 days of beneficial rain. We know now with the shortage of rain, and thereafter when we have rain, it brings such joy and excitement and happiness, because you know you experiencing the consequences and the repercussion of the absence of rain. And yet when rain comes, it brings, as the Quran says, اِهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ, it brings life to the entire place. But the establishment of the orders of Allah and the execution of justice, خَيْرٌ مِّن مَّطَرِ أَرْبَعِينَ صَبَاحًا, better than 40 days of beneficial rain. So with the justice of the governors, وَبِسَخَوَةِ الْأَغْنِيَا, and with the generosity of the wealthy. Those whom Allah has blessed with wealth, to be generous, to spend, through that a community would prosper, a community would grow. And lastly and not least and most importantly, وَبِدُعَاءِ الْفُقَرَا, the supplication, the du'as of the poor and the needy. We know not through their du'as and their supplication the goodness that Allah brings about. So Allah said this community came into truth because of two things. There was the presence of scholars. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانًا وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And they were not haughty, they were not arrogant, they were not proud when it came to truth. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in the hadith of Bukhari that a young man was clad well, dressed, attired, mounted onto his conveyance and he was moving. تُعْجِبُهُ نَفْسُ. These are the key words. Impressed and obsessed by his physique, by his appearance, thrilled by his appearance. Look at how I look at my muscle, look at my clout. Allah disliked it. Allah abhorred that action. Allah ordered the earth to split. He caved in, and that was the end of that person, his horse, his chapter, and his entire life. The hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those children who spoke in the infancy, a woman was nursing her child, she was suckling her child, and then passed by a person who was well clad, well attired, impressive in his look. Marra rajulun hasanul hay'a, really impressive, wow. You know, riding the best of conveyance, clad in the best of attire. The mother looked at her child, feeble, weak, small, simple, toddler, suckling, nursing a child. She said, Allahumma ja'al ibni mithlahu. Allah, one day this boy, when he grows up and he's weaned off and he becomes strong, let me also live to see this baby becoming like that man. Upright, dignified, got his own muscle, financial stability, riding on the horse and moving. There's no authentic narrations. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَتَرَكَ الثَّدِّيَ. The child detached from the breast of his mom. And he said, Allahumma la taj'alni mithlahu. Allah, please don't accept the dua of my mother. I don't want to end up like that man. Last week I mentioned in my talk, and I cry and I'll say it again, I wish the Muslim Ummah had adequate research on the Islamic history and the prophetic narrations, that when I could reference a particular hadith, each man on the strength of his own Islamic knowledge could tap into his archives and know what I'm referring to because he's read it. But alas, when these ahadith are brought to the fore, our eyes pop out like, is this, when's this, where's this? Okay, I'm not sure. That just gives you a reflection of how shallow our knowledge is on basic ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It would be so ideal that if each man was carrying with him in his own archives adequate Islamic knowledge and history, to just a little reference and a little. When the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu read the verse, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ إِنْقَلَبَتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Surely Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a noble human, but he is a mortal, and he belongs to the galaxy of humans and prophets. And he was preceded by many prophets. And Sahaba said, we knew this verse, and we read this verse, and we heard this verse, and we memorized this verse. But at the time, we did not refresh this verse. But when Abu Bakr brought it, each one of us understood the implications and we could draw directly because we were familiar with the verse. Anyway, the child then latches onto his mum again and he starts drinking the milk of his mum. And while he's drinking and he's been nursed by his mother, and we know this is again, I'm just objectively digressing. Allah has created a bond between child and parent, and the strongest of bonds is between a nursing mother and a nursing child. And you can express that milk into a container and into a vessel, but you cannot transmit that affection and that bonding. وَعَلَى الْوَالِدَاتِ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَ. And tell the moms to embrace their motherhood, and tell them to love their motherhood, and cherish their motherhood, and take pride in giving their children milk. That was our glory days, when our women were preparing soldiers, when our women were grooming and nursing and preparing people who could stand up in society with values. We're not talking of the historical, the scientific benefits. We're talking of it from an Islamic perspective to start off with. So then she's nursing the child, and then passes a woman, and she's downtrodden, and she's feeble, and she's weak. Zanayti sarakti, adulteress, you're a thief. And she looked at this woman and she said, oh shame, you know, empathy and sympathy, and really said, Allahumma la taj'al ibni mithlaha. Allah, when my child grows up, please Allah, let not my child end up like that, Allah. Let not my child end up. Motivated by noble, but by the apparent. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَتَرَكَ الثَّدْيَ. The child detaches again. Allahumma ja'alni mithlaha. Allah, please make me like this woman. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَتَرَاجَعَ الْكَلَامُ. Your mother and child start chatting. Mother and child, this is an infant. The words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the Sahaba, and he said, in the previous nations, a person got onto the back of a cow, and he started riding it. So the animal said, listen, I haven't been created as a mode of transport. I haven't been created as a conveyance. That's not the purpose for which Allah has created me. So the Sahaba that were present there, they respectfully asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Subhanallah, baqaratun tatakallam. O Nabi of Allah, are we understanding you correctly? You're saying the animal spoke. And there's a verse in the 20th Juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in Surah Shu'ara, that prior to Qiyamah, one of the final signs of Qiyamah, وَإِذَا وَقَعَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلُ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ. And when the hour will occur and the matter will fall upon them, we will cause a beast to emerge from the earth. And the authentic narration say it would happen at Mount Safa, where the earth would split and this animal would exit. And this is a verse in the entire Quran. This is the one verse that speaks about it. The hadith elaborate and elucidate and expound on it in great detail. أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ. We will cause a beast to emerge from the earth. أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ. And this animal will talk to people. What would it say to people? The authentic opinion is this very next ayah. أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُقِنُونَ. That why didn't you heed the warnings of Allah? Why didn't you change? Why didn't you change? And people would say that which we ignored from seniors and scholars and from learned and pious, today we want to listen to it from an animal, but alas, it's too late. You know, sometimes your mom says to you something and you ignore it and you don't make much of it. And then in years to come, your boss tells you, and then there's a tear in your eye and you say, oh, my late mom, may Allah give her Jannah. She always said this, but I never made much to it. I had to hear it from the mouth of someone else. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this animal would speak, and this animal spoke. Sahaba that were present, they said, O Nabi of Allah, you saying an animal spoke? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yes. And then he said, Abu Bakr and Umar have embraced it without reservation. You entitled to have your apprehension. Abu Bakr and Umar have accepted it, and they were not present. This was compliance. This was accepting. So here again, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and the point I am impressing is that we need to understand, in Islam, there is room for logic. Islam is not blind following, because this is again a thing that people have been told that, no, you need to understand, you just follow, there's no logic, there's no rationale, there's no application of your mind, there's no brainstorming, there's no thinking, you're not calculated, you just take, no. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. We apply our mind consciously, and we consciously arrive at the conclusion that Allah is one. It's just not something that was, compelled or forced or imposed upon us. However, we do say that the logic also has a cutoff point. The logic has a cutoff point. It cannot govern everything of your life. It has, it's a vehicle to understand, it's a mode to understand, but it's not the be all and the absolute all. So at certain points, where it's divine and it's beyond the realms and beyond the reach of your logic, then Islam calls you to put your logic aside and then to submit. Sayyidina Umar came to the black stone and he embraced the stone and he said, listen stone, I am Umar and you are a stone. And I know what I'm doing. You remain a stone and you're a lifeless object and you're inanimate. And you're not a human, leave alone anything else. But Umar, you also know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's the noblest of Allah's creation, Wahab ibn Munabbih rahmatullah alayhi said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يُعْطِ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ مِنْ بَدْءِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ إِنْقِضَائِهَا مِنَ الْعَقْلِ فِي جَنْبِ عَقْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا كَحَبَّةِ رَمْلٍ مِنْ بَيْنِ رِمَالِ الدُّنْيَا. The combined intelligence of the entire world from its inception to its destruction is like one dust particle. And the exclusive intelligence of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like the deserts of the world. So a being with such intelligence had put his lips there. That is what I've got to understand and submit and surrender, that the man with absolute power, knowledge, authority, wisdom, foresight, vision, fortitude, he had placed his blessed lips there. لَوْلَا أَنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يُقَبِّلُكَ مَا قَبَّلْتُ. He talks to the stone, he addresses. If I didn't see the Messenger of Allah putting his head there, I would have not put it. But I know the Messenger of Allah put it there, I have no reservations. Allah said, say unto them, their faith is not complete, it's pending. Until they don't embrace the life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in its entirety. But it doesn't end there to conclude your faith. After embracing his life, politically, economically, socially, financially, morally, ethically, religiously, then what does the Quran say? ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّمَّا قَضَيْتَ. They must not comply heavy-hearted. They must not oblige reluctantly. They must do it willfully. They must do it. No, these are the teachings and I'm, we Muslims now, we can't touch interest. No, I don't want interest. I hate it with a passion. I will not be frequenting venues of sin and not like, yeah, you know what, we deprived, we held back, we don't have those opportunities. No, I am grateful to Allah. So just embrace, if your son, you ask him for a simple glass of water, and then he stands up, reluctant, and then wait, and I'm coming. My father wants a glass of water again. Yeah, okay. Hey, leave it, man, leave it, really. That's not going to quench my thirst. That's going to aggravate my thirst. That's not going to quench my thirst. Fala wa rabbik. I swear by your Lord and the majesty of your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that again is the honor of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah makes reference to himself as the Lord of Muhammad. Allah is the Lord of everything. But Allah made reference. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until they don't make you the arbitrator to oversee and to arbitrate in all their matters. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجٍ. And then they don't feel any heaviness or reluctancy in their heart. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And they submit in totality. So coming back to my point. What is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Pride, arrogance, haughtiness. Someone asked my mother Aisha radiallahu anha, Mata a'lamu anni muhsin? When do I know I'm a good person? When your neighbors say it, when your friends say it, when you truly believe you're a bad person. When do I know I'm a bad person? When you truly believe you're a good person. When you sincerely believe that, listen, I am not a good, not hypocritical, not superficial, not apparently, I know for myself what my reality is. That is it. Now look at the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How beautiful, how embracing. Because today pride is brimming in us. It's there, it's loud, it's brazen, it's blatant. I always say, and I repeat this again, sin took place from the beginning of time. But sin was never so loud, so flamboyant, so colorful, so brazen, so blatant like it is today. It's not like in the yesteryear sin was not there. It was there. But it was secret, was discreet, was with a sense of guilt. But today it's with a sense of pride and accomplishment, with a sense of attitude. It's with a sense of attitude. And that is more concerning than the crime itself. The crime is serious and nobody can trivialize it. So I want to make mention that this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then there's a particular dialogue that I want to share with you. Look at the balance between the two. Now when you are humble, there could be the potential that people abuse you and exploit you and they take wrong benefit from your humility. And yet when you're arrogant and you're proud and you're haughty, then you are disliked in the eyes of Allah. Look at the balance in the prophetic words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And this could only be a prophet. This could only be a prophet to strike that correct balance. Allahumma ij'alni fi 'ayni saghira wa fi a'yunin nasi kabira. Allah, keep me humble in my personal opinion so I don't become inflated by the comments of people. But oh Allah, keep me dignified in the eyes of people. Allah, keep me humble in my own self so I don't make much and I know what my condition is. Now today it's the direct opposite. We are proud in our own opinion and people don't think anything good of us. We think people have good opinions about us, but the reality is far different. In the private circles and in social discussions, what people's true opinions are, it's completely different. It's completely different compared to what they reflect. Anyway, the incident is of Maymun ibn Mahran. He was one of the great advisors and ministers of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz's reign was amazing in terms of his justice. He enjoys the accolade of being the second Umar, and many people had put his rulership on the nahaj and the pattern of the Khulafa'i Rashideen. Although there was a gap and an interval between them, but he ruled on that pattern, you know. Just to give you a glimpse into the richness of his rulership, that when his predecessor had passed away, and then he was attending to the rituals of burial, etc., and then they brought a state conveyance for him to say that, listen, you're the man in office and now you'll be sworn in. So he said, no, I'm happy with my regular mule. Bring my mule to me, it's fine. قَرِّبُوا لِي بَغْلَتِي فَإِنَّ لِي فِيهَا بَلَاغًا. And then he says, listen, just keep a butler at the door. I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I had a long night, I need to retire to bed. And then we'll get into office and we'll start addressing the issues. Addressing, you know, hands on, not a matter of having a banquet and having a lavish party and having an inaugural bash, etc. And he just barely retires to bed and there's a knock on the door. And who's it? It's your son. But just tell him I'm exhausted. Your dad says you just want to give him a bit of a gap. He needs to sleep and he'll talk to you later. No, tell my dad it's urgent. I need to talk to him like now. Okay, usher my son in. Dad, you do know that now the responsibility is on you. And you do know that there's been a lot of irregularities and discrepancies from the previous ruler. And now that you've taken office, all this is on your shoulders. All this is on your shoulders. Today you look at the political climate, you can't reconcile this in your thoughts, never mind in reality. You can't reconcile this here. So he says, yeah, I'm cognizant about it, but I am tired. By Asr, I will be up. So the son whispers into his dad's ears, and he says, Man laka bi an ta'isha ila dhuhri. Dad, I just have one concern. Who stands guarantee that you're going to live till Asr? Brothers, what we need to do in good, we do it now. The English proverb is, the devil has no issues with our noble intentions as long as it's for tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to change. Tomorrow I'll sort out this. Tomorrow I'll... No issues. You can go on talking for the next year till the cows come home. But when you say, I'm going to do it now, the Prophet of Allah is sitting with the Sahaba. He stands up. He scales their shoulders. He dashes out. They go into panic mode. It's like all okay, such hurriedly and in haste. Then he comes out. Oh, Nabi of Allah, it's all fine. Yeah, I just recall I had some surplus money with me. I didn't want to die with that in my possession. I don't want to die without that in my possession. I want to die with a hefty balance. What we need to do in terms of virtue, we need to do it now. Sayyidina Abu Huraira is conducting the discourse. He said, anybody who's not in talking terms with any family member, please, will you make amends? The man exits the gathering there. His aunt was living on one of the remote areas of Medina. He goes to his aunt at that odd hour, knocks on the door. She says, I've come here. But at this time, this odd hour, what's it? Well, I was attending the gathering of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and he said, we are not allowed to sit until we don't resolve that conflict. And I said, I need to do it now, this very moment. We need to take this seriously. Whatever issues need to be addressed, let's make a commitment to Allah. At this moment, we exit the masjid and we do it. May Allah grant us the understanding, inshallah. So anyway, he said, فَأَطَارَتِ النَّوْمَ مِنْ بَيْنِ عَيْنَيْهِ. When he heard this statement, profound, brimming with faith, rich with meaning and value, he stood up. Now imagine if you had advisors like this to the rulers. These were the people that were advising them. This was their cabinet. This was their cronies. These was their entourage. This was the kind of inspiration. Today, by and large, barely you'll find an exception. But each man, when he comes in, he insulates himself with people that he knows his interests are covered and their interests are covered. And hence we see the moral degeneration politically and economically and socially across the globe. فأطارت النوم من بين عينيه. He stands up and he embraces his son. الحمد لله الذي أخرج من صلبي من يعينني على ديني. Allah, I'm so grateful you've given me children that put me on the line whenever I go across, wherever I digress. Sayyidina Umar one day stood up and he said, people, if I abuse my authority, what would you people do? They said, Umar, we'll straighten you with the same sword that you straighten others. We'll straighten you with the same sword with which you straighten others. He said, Alhamdulillah, الذي جعل من أمتي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من يقوم إعوجاج عمر. I'm grateful to Allah that there are people here that will tell me and address me and advise me. When we reach a point that there's nobody that can tell us, that is the recipe of disaster. When we reach a point that nobody, each man has to have someone in his life that, listen, you need to tell me. Because every one of us are fallible. Everyone. I can be a father to my children, but I can't be right in everything of my life. I have more experience than you, my child, but I can't be right all across. The Nabi of Allah was guided. The Nabi of Allah was inspired. The Nabi of Allah was groomed. I've reached a point that there's nobody to advise me in my life. I don't want to digress. My time is running out. So, Maymun ibn Mahran was a close advisor of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi. So he says, one day I came to visit Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, so I found he was writing a letter to his son. فَوَجَدْتُهُ يَكْتُبُ رِسَالَةً إِلَىٰ إِبْنِهِ عَبْدِ الْمَلِكِ يَعِذُهُ فِيهَا وَيَنْصَحُهُ وَيُبَصِّرُهُ وَيُحَذِّرُهُ. So a nice, rich discussion, meaningful, rich in content and in meaning. And in that he wrote to his son, وَكَانَ مِمَّا جَاءَ فِيهَا قَوْلُهُ أَمَّا بَعَدْ فَإِنَّ أَحَقَّ مَنْ وَعَنِّي وَفَهِمَ قَوْلِي لَأَنْتَ. Oh my son, Allah has blessed you with many children, but you stand out in terms of your intelligence. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْنَا فِي صَغِيرِ الْأَمْرِ وَكَبِيرِ. And Allah has been really kind to us in more than 1,000 ways. فَذْكُرْ يَا بُنَيَّ فَضْلَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْكَ. And every day refresh your gratitude to Allah. And how must we be grateful to Allah is the verse of the 22nd juz in Surah Saba. اعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُودَ شُكْرًا وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. O my servants, display your gratitude. Walk your gratitude. Exhibit your gratitude. Manifest it. Just don't claim it. Just don't verbalize it. Do it. When the son says, Dad, I love you. Okay, prove it. Simple, prove it. Just prove it. But claim? No, let's get to it. اِعْمَلُوا. In this verse, Allah says, display gratitude. And each one knows what it is. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, the minimum right of gratitude is that you don't use the bounty of Allah to abuse the rights of Allah. That's the minimum. That's the minimum you can do is, somebody gives you a phone, you don't use that same phone and send him a nasty message. Use another phone if you have to. We're not condoning that, but I mean, at its least, then I mean, you need to have some skin on your face. You need to have some skin on your face. The man gave me a phone, and then I use the same phone, and then I send that message to that same man and say, you know what, you have an attitude and whatever it is, some degree of regard. So, refresh and renew your gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْكِبْرَ وَالْعَظَمَ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And listen, my son, I just want to talk to you seriously about pride. I'm really worried about pride. I'm not saying you have it, but you know what? Nobody is free of it, and I'm very concerned about you. وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْكِبْرَ وَالْعَظَمَةَ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَهُوَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Let me pause and interject here for a moment and ask you to put your thinking cap. We live in a world where we need instant updates. We monitor things instantly. What's the latest from the score? What's the latest from the field? What's the latest in terms of the progress of the sick person? Last night I spoke to the nurse, but any update this morning? What's the latest on the currency? What's the latest on your sugar? Everything we want instant monitoring. But when it comes to the condition of our spirituality, we can stall it and delay it. We'll see in Ramadan what's my condition. We'll deal with it afterwards. We don't have to be instant and immediate. Everything else, like, you know what, in the morning it's too stale now, it's old, I need now, what's the latest? We need fresh updates on everything. But when it comes to what's the condition of my soul and where my state is, we're quite complicit about it. وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْكِبَرَ وَالْعَظَمَ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَعَلَمْ أَنِّي لَمْ أَبْعَثْ إِلَيْكَ بِكِتَابِ هَذَا لِأَمْرٍ بَلَغَنِي عَنْكَ فَمَا عَرَفْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِكَ إِلَّا خَيْرًا غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ بَلَغَنِي عَنْكَ شَيْءٌ مِنْ إِعْجَابِكَ بِنَفْسِكَ وَلَوْ أَنَّ هَذَا الْإِعْجَابَ خَرَجَ بِكَ إِلَى مَا أَكْرَهُ لَرَأَيْتَ مِنِّي مَا تَكْرَهُ. Listen, my son, I get the stench of arrogance in you. I get the stench of pride. The ayat I recited, Allah speaks of two types of pride. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. The verse that precedes it, Allah says, I have decreed and ordained and written and predestined everything. Why? So you don't become obsessed on your achievements and despondent on your failures. You take solace to say that was decreed, and you learn to comfort yourself that Allah had ordained this honor for you. It's not an achievement of yours. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Allah has captured everything and it's easy for Allah to record it. Allah, why have you recorded it in advance? لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. So that you don't over regret your losses. Now I must qualify the statement and say Islam does not advocate an approach of becoming careless and negligent and not adopting measures and instituting precautions. We've been told to take all measures in place, but we're not the custodians of the outcome of our actions. So drive slowly, buckle up, follow the speed limit, but that doesn't guarantee a safety driving and a safety arrival. That's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. So you learn to say, listen, something that was decreed and ordained, you take solace from it. That is why I say to people go for therapy, they go for counseling, they go for all this motivation. An article of fate and taqdeer and destiny, that itself gives us so much strength to close chapters and move on in our life. We close it, well, this is what Allah had decreed. His knowledge is supreme, He knows better. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَأْتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. And you don't become arrogant on your accomplishments, on your feet, on your milestones, on your accolades, on your achievements. Because Allah had decreed that honor for you. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. The linguistic difference between مُخْتَال and فَخُور, one refers to pride over inner abilities, intelligence, physical appearance. The other one is financial clout, fame, recognition, running a corporate, successful entrepreneur. Either way, Allah doesn't like you to be proud. Whether you have internal abilities or external, you have wealth or fame attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, oh my son, I'm a bit worried about you, and I get this sometimes in some of your statements, there's a bit of pride coming out. Please, I'm going to have to clip your wings and prune those stray shrubs in you just to cut you down to size and keep yourself on action. Then he looks at Maymoon, who was his advisor. He says, Maymoon, I'm going to open up to you. Something that's in my heart, been playing on me for a long time. I need to talk to you. ثُمَّ الْتَفَتَ إِلَيَّ وَقَالْ إِنَّ ابْنِي عَبْدَ الْمَلِكِ قَدْ زُيِّنَ فِي عَيْنِي وَإِنِّي أَتَّهِمُ نَفْسِي فِي ذَلِكِ. My son, Abdul Malik, I love him dearly. And it's no secret to anyone. But I think I've overrated him. And I have over-elevated him. And I'm a bit worried that I have given him more prominence than he actually deserved. And I just wonder if this didn't create pride in him. So it's been playing on me. Would you do me a favor, go there and just camouflage yourself and then just have a chat with him and engage with him and see what's the vibes. We might have a son studying at locally or abroad. You're going to this country, okay, meet my son there. Just see how he speak to his professors, speak to his class colleagues, see if he's eating well. Those are the concerns, and we're not discrediting those concerns. We're not saying, those are fatherly concerns. I always say, we have a duty as a father, and we have a duty as a Muslim father. And we can have harmony in the two. To see his funds are in place, his fees are being paid, his dormitory is livable, his condition is decent. Those are fatherly concerns, and rightfully so. But then there is a Muslim father concern, and I wear both the caps on my head, and I need to be cognizant of both. Okay, my son, all that is in order, but tell me, what's your salah? What's your halal status? With who are you associating? Is there any strange woman? Is there any illicit relation? Are you not dabbling in anything haram or forbidden? And we, between the two, priority has to go to the spiritual. We strike the balance, and we take care of both. When Sayyidina Ibrahim left his children in a barren land, he left them by his own admission. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. Allah, there isn't a blade of grass here. Cognizant that there's absolutely nothing. And then when he leaves, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. Now when he prays for them, it doesn't start off with the prayer of the food and the sustenance. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah, make them establish prayer. Make them those who bow to you. Make them those who prostrate to you. A brother told me a nice thing. I was giving a talk in one place. He says, you're speaking about prostration. You know, I must tell you, they say men suffer from prostate cancer. But I think the whole ummah suffers from prostrate cancer. Men suffer, in our country, they say the prostate cancer amongst women, men is very high, just like a woman has to go for her annual mammography and see that she doesn't have any cancerous tumors, etc. And may Allah give our women and men good health. So we do a check on prostate. But how about prostrate? And then he told me another thing. He said, you know, the morning is the real period of mourning. The morning is the time to mourn. I said, why? Because the masjids are empty. I said, old man, but great words. What dua did he make? He first made dua, Allah make them established for it. Then he said, Allah give them sustenance and Allah, you know, give them the things of this world. So Maymun ibn Mahran says, I travel and I come to meet the young lad. فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَإِذَا غُلَامٌ I see this young boy, sharp, impressive in his look. رَيَّانُ الشَّبَابِ You know, brimming with youth and valor and talent. You could see him. He's all in his might and his power and his muscle. So he welcomes me and he sits me down and we start chatting and he says, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ أَبِي يَذْكُرُكَ بِمَا أَنْتَ أَهْلٌ لَهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ My dad always raves about you, Maymoon. My dad always has high opinion and I'm happy that finally we meet. I hope we can have a good discussion. وَإِنِّي لَأَرْجُ أَن يَنْفَعَ اللَّهُ بِكَ So I spaced myself and I started chatting with the boy. I said, كَيْفَ تَجِدُ نَفْسَكَ So Abdul Malik, how's life going? How's things happening on your side? Sometimes it's an approach than the change of reality. The English proverb, if we change the way we look at things, the things we look at will also change. If we change the way we look at things, we know the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, where Sayyidina Ibrahim was wedded, and he went out in the search of livelihood, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu was salam, and he left his wife at home, and the old man came, unknown that that was my father-in-law, says, would you allow me in? Yes. Sister, how are you living? Oh, we're living in bad state, man, really. We're probably the poorest in this whole community. We don't eat. My husband is out. Things are bad. It's tough. It's challenging. It's really turbulent. It's in turmoil. It's rocky. It's really not good. Okay, no problem. When your husband comes home, give him my salams and tell him he might want to consider changing his doorstep. He might want to consider changing his doorstep. Maybe it's time he needs to just look at another doorstep. Okay, that's fine. The old man leaves. Who is this old man? Abul Anbiya, the father of prophets. The man returns home. كَأَنَّهُ أَحَسَّ بِشَيْءٍ These are the narration of... He sensed somebody came home. Today you sense somebody, that somebody is somebody else. It's a dangerous somebody. It's just like other somebodies. And I was like, somebody else here. Yeah. Okay. No, it was the children's uncle. Okay, which uncle here now? Wait. Now, can we understand this? No. It was the band for the blinds. Oh. Physically, visually impaired? No, he puts in blinds. Oh, he's sighted. Okay. So there's a lot of gray areas there. There's a lot of things that are unclear. Loyalty is everything, my brother. Loyalty is everything. If your marriage is loyal and faithful, you've got everything. Al-wafa'u shadaratun jami'u thimariha tayyiba. Loyalty is a tree that only bears good fruit. So you see, there was this old man and he said, he spoke to me, he asked me, I told him, we live in a bad state. And he said, I must consider changing my doorstep. Okay, my wife, I need to tell you, that was my dad. And he's the prophet of Allah. And the reference to the doorstep is that probably we need to dissolve this relation and I got to move on. I heard from one of my teachers, Allah makes reference to Ibrahim as Halim. In the 11 Jews of the Quran, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَحَلِيمٌ أَوَّاهُمْ مُنِيبٌ Ibrahim is tolerant. A man whose tolerance was recognized by Allah. Even he gave way at the ungratefulness of a spouse. Even he said, no, maybe we're done here. Maybe we're done here. This wasn't a man who said, no, he's too hasty, he's impulsive, he lacks it, he doesn't have it. No, you need to be calculated. You couldn't be so impulsive. This is a man who the Quran says he's tolerant. The Quran says he's tolerant. But when there was ungratefulness from a spouse, he said, maybe it's time. Things move on. Ismail alayhi salam gets married again. And then destiny has it that he comes by again. And then he meets up again and he's ushered in by the new daughter-in-law and she entertains him and how are you living? نَحْنُ بِفِي عَيْشٍ We living in a good condition. Everything is good. What did I say? It's not a change of circumstances, a change of attitude. Change of approach, change of mindset, change of mind. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ The constant crave of amassing more has made you oblivious of what you currently have. The constant crave of more. I just need to move forward, up, increase, inch, forward, leap. Just all the Allah yulhi, just made you heedless. We're living in good condition. And then, Okay, when your husband comes back, tell him that he must look after his doorstep. He can't ask for better. He can't ask for better. When he returns again, I have a perception someone came. Yes. Marra rajulun, old man like this here. He had a chat with me and these are my expressions that we had. He said, that was my father and he's complimented you and he's congratulated you. And the narration goes on to say that when Sayyidina Ibrahim asked her what you ate, he said, Allahmu wal ma, we eat meat. We having good food and we drink in water. Whereas there wasn't a grain in the house. May Allah grant us that gratitude. So he asked him, oh my young boy, how are you living? He said, bi khayrim min Allahi azza wa jal. I'm living in a good condition, but I must tell you, I think my dad has overrated me. This thing is playing with me. So Maymun ibn Mahran said, when I heard this, I said, look at the hearts, how they're synchronized. That side, the father is worried that he's over elevated his son, and here the son thinks that, no, you know what? I'm not like what my father thinks of me. I know my own condition. I know where I stand. This is not the reality of it. So, فَأَكُونَ أَفَةً عَلَيْهِ. I think I'm going to disappoint my father. I'm going to disappoint him, not deliberately, but purely because I'm not of the stature that he perceives me to be. فَعَجِبْتُ مِنْ اِتِّفَاقِهِمَا. I was amazed by this, but I said nothing because I needed to space myself and I needed to chat with him. So I said, أَعْلِمْنِي مِنْ أَيْنَ مَعِيشَتُكَ. So like, what's your livelihood? How do you pass your day typically? Where do you generate your revenue from? He said, مِنْ غَلَّةِ أَرْضٍ اشتريتها ممن ورثها عن أبيه ودفعت ثمنها من مال لا شبهة فيه. Look at the whole breakdown. Because your income says everything about your values and your character. Where our money is coming from, that is key, that is essential, that's integral in terms of everything what we put in into our own families and their systems. He said, من غلة أرض, I had purchased a land which I have leased it. مِمَّنْ وَرِثَهَا عَنْ أَبِيهِ, and this land I purchased it from someone who had inherited it from the estate of his late father. وَدَفَعْتُ ثَمَنَهَا بِمَالٍ لَا شُبْهَةَ فِيهِ, and I paid with this with clean, pure money. There was no doubt in this money. There was nothing unlawful about it. فَاسْتَغْنَيْتُ بِذَلِكَ عَنْ فَيْءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. So in doing so, I've become independent of drawing from the national treasury. Being the son of the Amir, but I don't take any allowance from the national treasury. My hands are clean and clear. I have not tainted my hands with the wealth of the Muslims. I said, great. مَا طَعَامُكَ. What do you eat? He said, لَيْلَةً لَحْمٌ. This is about all my variety. One day I'll have meat. لَيْلَةً عَدَسٌ وَزَيْتٌ. Sometimes I'll have your lentils and I'll have olives. Now this might be simple, but look at the nutritional value in each of this here. The nutritional value in this is great. We're talking of olives. The Quran swears an oath about it. وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ طُورِ سَيْنَا تَنْبُتُ بِالدُّهْنِ وَصِبْغٍ لِلْآكِلِينَ. And that tree that grows excessively on Mount Sinai. When I went to Egypt and we climbed Mount Sinai, the Quran speaks about this here. The trees that grow there. And the produce of that olive in the form of oil, it's a great gravy. Sibghin, it's a gravy. Lil akilin, for those that want to eat healthy food and consume the ni'mats and the bounties of Allah. So one day it would be some lentils and it would be some olive. Walaylatan khallun wa zaytun. And sometimes I would have some vinegar and some olives. Wafi hadha balagh. And that's about my variety. That's about my variety. You read the benefits of apple cider vinegar and that which is, organic and has not been adulterated, and the wholesome and the many benefits in it. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would eat it also from time to time. So this is my variety and that is what I live with. I said, okay, that's great. أَفَمَا تُعْجِبُكَ نَفْسُكَ. Does it ever cross your mind that you the son of the Amirul Mu'mineen? Does it cross you? Does your ego play tricks with you? Does your ego play tricks with you? Does it whisper these things to you? We don't know whose ego whispers what. The devil makes different attacks to different people. May Allah protect one and all. He said, yes, why lie? Being the son of a great man, my ego plays whispers with me. It plays these tricks. I often quote that English quotation that some of us boast the legacy of our ancestors as if we were responsible for their achievements. We say, you know who my father was. You know who my grandfather was. But what has that got to do with you? Who are you, my brother? Who are you? Each man, the hadith of Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said to his daughter Fatima, Fatima, I am your father and you my daughter. The little I have, you can take it. But Fatima, your reckoning will be separate on the day of Qiyamah. Minds will be separate. Ya Fatima, salini ma shi'ti min mali, la ughni anki min Allahi shay'a. قل ما كنت بدعا من الرسل وما أدري ما يفعل بي ولا بكم. So I did get the whispers, I'm the son of a great man, and the devil did play tricks with me, but my father set me down. And we need to have dialogue. We live in challenging times with our children. We have to create dialogue and try and reach out to them. I mentioned this in one of my talks recently. They say when you're with your children, speak to them about Allah. And when your children are not with you, speak to Allah about them. When you're with your children, speak to them about Allah. And when you're alone in your car, speak to Allah about them. Allah, this is so much I can do, Allah. Beyond that, it's out of my grip. It's out of my control. I cannot put a leash around my son and keep him here. It's that night where the best of people lose their focus and they indulge in womanizing and gambling. Allah, there's so much I can do, but I'm talking to you to take care of them. When you're with your children, speak to them about Allah. And when they are not in your presence, speak to Allah about them. So my dad set me down and he had a good heart-to-heart discussion with me. And after that, I really took benefit from this, and may Allah reward him. My father is an amazing person. I sat with him and I'm getting more impressed with this person. I said, this is an amazing young man. فَقَعَدْتُ سَاعَةً أُحَدِّثُهُ وَأَسْتَمِعُ بِمَنْطِقِهِ فَلَمْ أَرَفَةً كَانَ أَجْمَلَ وَجْهًا وَلَا أَكْمَلَ عَقْلًا وَلَا أَحْسَنَ أَدَبًا مِنْهُ عَلَى حِدَاثَةِ سِنِّهِ وَقِلَّةِ تَجْرِبَتِي. Young but calculated, you know, tender but matured. You know, he's got values, he's got his head screwed on right. The boy is talking respectfully and responsibly. And this is what by and large our youth lack today. In fact, in the tafsir, in many tafsirs I read, regarding Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam, Allah had blessed him with two amazing things. Number one, he was hasood. And this was an attribute that Allah had given to him exclusively. This was not something that was found in the other anbiya. And that is, he had no inclination towards women in any way. Haram was not found in any Nabi, but not even in halal. Hasur. Hasur means, Allah praised him that he had no inclination whatsoever. So this was a quality that Allah had blessed him with. But besides that, وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا. Allah had blessed him with great maturity and understanding as a small child. Sabi. The Quran says he was a child, but he was so intelligent. He stood out. To the extent it's mentioned in the tafsir that the kids told him, Yahya, come, let's go and play. At the age of 4, he said, we haven't been created for entertainment and recreation. At the age of 4, that stands out. So I had a good chat with him and I was very impressed. And while we were talking, somebody just came and said, Your Majesty Abdul Malik, they're done with the bathrooms, the communal showers are done. So I'm like, okay, what's happening here now? What's all this interjection? مَا هَذَا الَّذِي فَرَغُوا مِنْهُ. If I'm not being too nosy in your affairs, what is the man talking about, Abdul Malik? He said, no, please, you can ask me. Please, there's nothing hidden in my life. He said, no, basically, they've cleared it up for me so that I could use the facility. So when I heard this, I said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is sad, man. So Abdul Malik said, وَمَا فِي ذَلِكَ يَا عَمْ. What's so wrong and what's so offensive that they have basically vacated and cleared the facility that I can use it? Pride, arrogance, haughtiness. We're monitoring everything microscopically. But what about the seed that's growing in us? How are we talking? What are we doing? Sahaba, oh man, they were watching themselves at every moment. Ya Allah, how am I behaving? How am I talking? You can call your staff, but you don't have to be arrogant about it. Hey, come here, man. Yeah, you, who else? No, you can call him. Then you have to call him. And Allah has given you authority. Not because you're better. وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا وَرَحْمَةُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. I have made some employers and I have made some employees. Not because you own more or you're more smart and he's less educated. Because this is the system I have adopted for life to continue on this earth. That one will be dependent on skill and other one will be dependent on remuneration. And it's the merging of this two that will keep the wheel of life turning. The verse of the 25th juice. وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. So I asked him, does that those showers, those bathrooms belong to you? He said, no. So then, that's arrogant. Why do you tell them to clear it out exclusively for you? What do you feel that it's a... You're denying the man the revenue that he would get from other people using the facility at the same time. So suddenly it's like, you know what, we'll buy the whole airspace. We'll clear the whole hotel is ours. Yeah, myself and my entourage. We'll take over. You look at the exorbitant and the cost that get involved in these you know, people flying and the entourage and the related things. And what happening on the ground on the other hand. كَأَنَّكَ تُرِيدُ أَن تَرْفَعَ نَفْسَكَ فَوْقَهُمْ وَتَجْعَلَ لَهَا قَدْرًا يَعْلُو عَلَىٰ أَقْدَارِهِمْ. He said, no problem. If that man will be losing out on his revenue, I will pay for every other cubicle and facility that is there. At the time I use it, I will pay for the whole thing. He said, yeah, you see, that's your wealth that's talking. That's your muscle. That's your pride. That's your, because you got money, you can talk like that. That is more blatant in you. هَذِهِ نَفَقَةُ صَرْفٍ خَالَتَهَا كِبْرٌ. Number one, that's been extravagant and that's brimming with arrogance. So I said, okay, Maimun, I apologize. You tell me. So he said, no, I'm asking you, why can't you access the facility with other people? He said, the truth is, O Maimun, the truth is that many people, when they come to use the facility, they expose their private areas. And then inevitably, I get exposed to the sitter of people. You ask people who use the gym facilities. Ask people who go to the gyms and everything. It's like, to be clad is abnormal. Like, how can you be coming with your clothes? What's wrong with you? It's a norm. You just walk around with absolutely nothing. Well, that's the definition of many people of clearing. What they say, when the chicken is featherless and they clean it, then they call it a dress chicken. Huh? Dress chicken is when you cleaned it. So, well, maybe that's dress for some people. Let me wrap up. Time is up here. So what stops you? He said, no, there are people there. And remember the teachings. Islam is modest, my brother. Islam is modest. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't look at the thigh of a male or a female, living or dead. I mean, when we are burying someone, and the teachings of Islam is, when you're burying a woman, and when Fatima radiallahu anha told Ali radiallahu anha, I'm worried about something. So she said, it's what? Said, when I'll be buried, when I pass away, then I'm concerned about adequate cover over my grave. And I want to show you something that Asma showed me when she went to Abyssinia with her husband. And then she took certain twigs and she made a little canopy-like thing. And she told Sayyidina Ali, that's my request. Please, I want over my burial, you must make sure there's added cover over it. And it's that sunnah that continues still today, that for a woman we take that adequate precautions. Number two, you must bury me in at night. And number three, I want you to get married. And I'm even telling you who you must get married to. Look at this, hearts were clean, the society was real, they were pragmatic. There wasn't this prejudice and bias and this culture and this tradition. I want you to get married to my sister Zainab radiallahu anha's daughter Umama. So I'm telling you, these are the three things I want you to do. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu carried it out. What stops you from using? No, people are not dressed properly. And I don't want to go in there when I get exposed. And I don't want to impose it on people because then they think I'm using the authority of my father. Or they now he thinks like, you know, he's now running on the strength of his father. Now he thinks he's the Amir. So, you know, people always have that wary eye to me and they think, so I don't want to tell anybody. And then I don't want to expose myself. So I wait for it to, you know, when they clear it out for me, that's when I use the facility. But O Maimoon, please tell me, how can I find a way out of this where I don't feed my ego? I don't have pride and arrogance that I walk in escorted and I have ushers and then I'm taken in exclusively and the facility is cleared for me. At the same time, I don't get... He said, you know what you do? You don't appoint anyone. You don't appoint anyone to clear the facility. You wait patiently till the last person leaves at his time and then you walk in as an ordinary mortal. So in that way, you don't get exposure to others, nor does anybody make prior arrangements for you which doesn't massage your ego. Done deal. وَلَوْلَا شِدَّةُ بَرْدِ هَذِهِ الْبِلَادِ مَا دَخَلْتُ أَبَدًا. It's very cold and occasionally we need these hot showers, otherwise I wouldn't have used it. Anyway, there's this moment of silence. I appreciate what you said. But I just have one request. When you meet my father, please don't mention this to my father. Don't mention this. Just keep this away from my father. So Maimun said, I wanted to test him even more. I said, إِن سَأَلَنِي أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَنْكَ أَفَتُرِيدُ أَنْ أَكْذِبَ عَلَيْهِ. So when I go back to your father and he asks me, so how's my son? You want me to lie and say, no, your son is fine, no pride, no arrogance, humble, simple, genuine. Is that what you want me to say? So I said, no. That's not what I'm saying. What you tell my father is, tell him that I've observed certain practices in him which I was not comfortable with. Use vague and ambiguous language. رَأَيْتُ فِيهِ شَيْئًا. Ra'aytu, look at the whole society, the whole community, the building blocks, everyone was amazing. When Sayyidina Ibrahim slaughtered Ismail, it wasn't only Ismail that was amazing, or it wasn't only Ibrahim that was amazing, or it wasn't only Hajar that was amazing. There was no one there less than the others in terms of impression and amazement. Then it made up a complete society. Everyone was just amazing. The mother was unique, the father was outstanding, the son was unique, exclusive. That's when the whole community stood out in its color and its beauty. You tell my father, I seen some practices in him. But listen, I spoke to the boy. I spoke to him. We kind of tensioned him up. رَأَيْتُ فِيهِ شَيْءٍ فَوَعَدْتُهُ وَكَبَّرْتُهُ فِي عَيْنِ فَسَارَعَ إِلَى الرُّجُوعِ. And let my father know, I took instant measures to address the wrong. فَإِنَّ أَبِي لَا يَسْأَلُكَ عَنْ كَشْفِ مَا لَمْ تُظْهِرْهُ لَهُ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ عَآذَهُ عَنِ الْبَحْثِ عَمَّ اسْتَتَرْ. Because my father is not a person who will probe something that hasn't come before him. If you tell it to him in a modest way, with limits, in ambiguity, he will pick up the hint, he will understand it, he wouldn't go deeper into it and dig deeper into it. Maymun ibn Mahran said that I supposedly came here to examine him, but I walked out more impressed than I could impress. فَلَمْ أَرَ وَالِدًا وَلَا وَلَدًا قَدْتُ أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ. I haven't seen a father and a son like that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free our hearts from pride, from arrogance, from haughtiness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within us humility. May Allah make us humble creatures. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Allah said, the pious servants are those. Not only their speech will tell you that they are humble. When you look at the way they walk, you will realize this man is a humble servant. Allah grant us to understand.